If you've ever been to Muir Woods, just north of San Francisco, or to some other site of magnificent giant coastal redwoods, you'll know what I mean when I say I love standing in the middle of fairy rings. Redwoods propagate better from sprouts than from seeds. When a giant redwood dies, a new generation of trees sprout around the old tree's circumference, connected to the established root system of the elder tree and drawing on its mature network for nutrients. Sometimes when I'm there, I'll just lay down in the middle of the fairy ring where the rotted stump of the original tree would have been, looking at the swatch of blue far up through the circle of trunks pointing skyward. The only referent I can think of is a cathedral, and here it's nature's cathedral. Jesus, as you might remember, is the grandson of Ruth and Boaz. Did I say Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah. Jesse. Jesse is the grandson of Ruth and Boaz and the father of David, Israel's greatest king. Yet Isaiah's story and the story of Israel's prophets in general is of the rot that set in among the kings that followed David. While their faults are not laid out in this text in Isaiah explicitly, one hears by echo what led to that lineage being cut down to a stump. They ruled not with wisdom, but with folly. Not with insight, but capriciously. They did not judge the needy and the meek with righteousness, but as in Pharaoh's Egypt, with disregard that exploited the weak. The shoot, as Isaiah depicts his future hope, is nascent, fragile, small, a reminder of the marginality and vulnerability of Ruth, a suggestive metaphor recalling the small shepherd boy David was, the youngest of Jesse's children, who with three small stones and a slingshot prevailed over the warrior Goliath. Yet as David was anointed king, he was drunk with his power, becoming a shameful murderer and rapist. And his son Solomon, enraptured with the trappings of wealth, built a gold-encrusted temple, conquered neighboring nations, and took their women to be among his 700 wives and 300 concubines. And things got worse after that. The history of Israel's kings unfolds, and it comes as no surprise, actually, that it didn't turn out well. As 1 Samuel records, the people's request for a king like other nations was a fraught choice from the beginning. For as the Lord told Samuel, you will become the king's slaves, and you will finally cry out to the Lord to save you from the king you wanted. But the Lord will not answer your prayers. Isaiah's judgment is firm, yet his vision of hope is firmer still. This shoot, this child, will inaugurate a moment of new possibility, and it will not only be for a broken humanity, but for all creation. The iconic image of a wolf dwelling with the lamb captures the essence of this expansive vision summarized in verse 9. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. To return to my opening story, as we know, Muir Woods is functionally a zoo where we can go to see what used to reign wild and free throughout California. The settler expansion of the United States couldn't let go of the vast number of board feet per tree that redwoods offered, and only 5% of the historic old growth redwoods remain today. That there are this many is only the result of activism, like a woman named Julia Hill, who in 1997, as part of a logging protest against the Pacific Logging Company, climbed up an 1,000-year-old redwood tree she nicknamed Luna and lived there for over 2 years before she finally won. Isaiah is, if you will, like contemporary activists and abolitionists who know that sharp critique of evils must come hand in hand with a vision of how things could be otherwise. And the tension between critique and what is otherwise, in the tension between critique and what is otherwise, hope becomes a practice. God, through prophets like Isaiah, tell any and every hurting, discouraged, abandoned, stepped upon person, place, or thing that they are meant to be otherwise. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson just published her first dissent since joining the Supreme Court. She wrote in defense of a black man wrongfully sentenced to death in Ohio, pointing out the state prosecutors had willfully withheld evidence that by their own admission would have surely led to an acquittal in the case. When we sing of a dark, sacred night, we critique both anti-blackness that lifts up light alone as good, and we join Louis Armstrong in singing otherwise, naming a place where to be dark is sacred. When we lay in a fairy ring, we feel the loss of giants taken for, among other uses, to build water tanks atop New York City buildings. I kid you not. one of the destinations of giant redwood lumber. And at the same time lying in that fairy ring, we find our eyes soaring skyward along the trunks of shoots whose restless roots sent up. Here's an Advent image of our God. Those restless roots in the deep, dark soil, again and again, sending up shoots full of new possibility. And we too, each of us, in this fairy circle of Christ's body, we too are made new in this gathering, made new to practice how our world could be otherwise.